Are you looking for freedom? Freedom from the daily grind and hustle? Or just finding a way to live the life you always wanted? Then join us on the Investing for Freedom podcast. Our host, Mike Ayala, will help you discover new ways to find freedom with tips, insights, and interviews. You'll learn the exact systems he's used to travel the world and live his best life. True success and happiness are all about freedom. And here's your roadmap on how to find freedom on your own terms. Welcome to the Investing for Freedom podcast. Here's your host, Mike Ayala.
Thank you for joining me on the Investing for Freedom podcast. So I've spent the last few days traveling in the Midwest to some of our mobile home park communities. And for those of you that are new here or don't know, I've been investing in manufactured housing communities since 2007. And growing up, I actually, you know, lived in a 1976 single wide, which I keep a picture of that on one of my shelves with my family. You know, affordable housing is a problem, and it's always been a problem, but obviously it's becoming a bigger and bigger issue. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately. You know, are houses really that much more expensive? Not really. The purchasing power of the dollar is just imploded, which that's not really what this episode is about. So we'll talk about that another day, but affordability has just become a big problem. And, you know, one of the issues is obviously because wages have not kept up with the pace of inflation. And, you know, I actually talked about this a few weeks back on a King's Table episode. And Visual Capitalist actually put out a really good chart that shows this, the disparity between affordability and, you know, housing over the last, I think it goes back 40 years or something, but just a crazy chart. But again, affordability is a big issue. And this is going to continue, but there's some really interesting things on the horizon, not just for manufactured housing, but, you know, affordable housing in general. I mean, the government is going to have to step in. And as much as I'm not necessarily a proponent of socialism, I'm not at all. I'm more of a proponent of the free market, the private market, capitalism being the solution, working with nonprofits, you know, charitable foundations, and yes, the government. Whether I like it or not, COVID showed this. When COVID happened, as you know, there was a knee-jerk reaction, and I think the government handled the situation wrong with eviction moratoriums and all of that stuff. That's just my personal opinion. But I guess I understand, you know, lawmakers' challenges when making these decisions. And it was a knee-jerk reaction. And I think now that we have the data, I believe that going forward, the government is going to do a lot more, you know, incentives around affordability and all of that. When COVID actually happened, we owned more communities even then than we do now. And it was a real challenge for us because, you know, every county had its own rules. And I mean, even the community that I lived in, which is a very, very conservative county, like one of the most conservative counties in the country. And they had a single judge there that didn't understand the manufactured housing law. And this is the problem with, you know, law and courts. By the way, I do believe that we have the best legal system in the world, potentially. And as good as it is, you know, it's fallible. But one of the things that I'm super proud of living in the United States and our founding fathers and the way things are done is our legal system. And even though it can be challenging, you know, we do not want a king. We do not want a dictator. That's a bad, bad place to be. And so, you know, the way that our courts and laws and systems are separated and the law, the power of law cannot be, you know, held by one person. That's actually a very good thing. But the problem is it can take a long time for some of this to work through. And so back to this conservative county that I lived in Nevada, they actually have a manufactured housing division at the state level that oversees all manufactured housing for the entire state. They have their own division, their own licensing, the contractors have to be licensed, all the titles and everything go through the manufactured housing division. And Nevada actually has its own separate law. And it's supposed to be held a certain way. Well, during COVID, there was one judge that didn't really understand the law there and the way that he was doing things. It took a long time. And so the reason why I'm kind of just kind of sharing that is, you know, you can have a judge that doesn't really understand the law. And it actually, because of COVID, it took a long time to get that one particular judge to the point where, you know, somebody finally told him, hey, this isn't how it's supposed to be. And he finally listened. So that's the downside to our legal system. But the reality is, I still think that it's better than a system where, again, there's a dictator or consolidated power. So I do, even with everything that I'm going to, you know, share today, it could sound like a negative thing, but really, I truly believe that we live in the best system. So traveling to these communities, the point that I really want to talk about today, there's a quick story that I want to share with you. And a friend of mine shared this a while back, and the story goes like this. So every holiday, there's a son, and he's watching his mom, and she cooks a ham. And so as she puts this ham in the oven, she always takes this big piece of the ham off. She cuts the whole back of the ham off. And the son's been watching this for years. And so finally one Christmas, he says, "Mom, why do you cut the back of the ham off?" She literally cuts a big old piece of the ham off and just tosses it. And she's like, "Well, I don't know. That's just how my mom taught me to do it." And so then when he has a chance, he talks to his grandma and says, "Grandma, why did you teach mom to cut the back off the ham?" And she says, "Well, I don't know. That's just how my mom taught me." And so then his great grandma is still alive. And so he has a chance to talk to the great grandma. And he says, "Grandma, why do we cut the back off the ham?" And she says, "Well, when I was little, our ovens were smaller and the pans were a lot smaller. And so the ham wouldn't fit in the pan. And so we cut the back off the ham." And it was that story. It's that moment where you just look and you realize that there's these things that we do in our lives and in our businesses that we put in place for a specific reason. So the reason the ham was cut off was because the ovens were smaller. But then all these years we've been cutting the back off the ham and wasting a big part of the ham because nobody actually, you know, changed the methodologies. And so how this applies to, you know, maybe you hopefully, or, you know, as you're thinking through this, whether again, it's in your personal life or whether it's in your business life, you know, where are you cutting the back off the ham because you put something in place? And I wanted to interrupt the podcast quickly as we're talking about cutting the back off the ham. And I mentioned this, you know, this can apply to a lot of areas in our life, not just business. This can apply to our relationships as well. Kara and I do couples trips where we get couples together. The one that we have coming up in May is actually, there's spots for 7 couples. There's still 4 spots left, I believe. Would love to see you and your significant other on a trip with us. But what's great about this concept of cutting the back off the ham, you know, this is something that happens in our relationship too. It's really easy to just get busy and distracted with work and business and investing and kids. And it's really important as a couple, and Kara and I often say this, we're looking for couples, just to be clear, that are not, you know, struggling in their marriage. So, you know, if you would consider your marriage right now a 4 or a 5, this may not be the place for you if your marriage is on the rocks. But if you're, you know, considering your marriage a 7 or an 8, and you want to take this to a 9 or a 10, and you want to figure out areas where you're cutting the back off the ham, even in your own relationship, maybe not doing the things that you once did, maybe not staying connected, maybe not going through exercises that pull you closer, maybe not communicating on the level that you want to, I would love to invite you on a trip with us. This one happens to be in Cabo again in May. text the word marriage to 480-531-7519 or DM marriage on Instagram, and I can get in touch with you and give you some more information. But if you and your spouse need some connection time, you need some time away from the kids, you need some time away from the business, Kara and I curate 4 days of just connection, a time to really just get intimate. When I say intimate, I mean in exercises, in communication, in conversation. And who knows, you guys may go get intimate on your own as well, but would love to see you on a trip with us. This is going to be an epic trip, beautiful house. We do things like, I'm not going to let you know exactly what we're doing on this trip right now, but you know, we'll go out on a yacht and just have an epic experience. We've done amazing date nights where we do facilitated connection time. We do little workshops around the time. And then there is an afternoon where the women just connect and then the men go connect. This is going to be an epic, epic trip. And every single time these trips get better and better. So DM the word marriage to 480-531-7519 or DM marriage or DM me marriage on Instagram and we'll get you some information. As I'm touring properties, there's some things that we're doing that got implemented during COVID. And the lesson for me is to make sure that we're constantly doing inventory of our systems and processes. Now, in business, it's hard enough to get a playbook in place. Most businesses never have SOPs even in place because entrepreneurs are just doing everything that they can to survive. And by the way, this is a great place to plug Dan Martell's book, Buy Back Your Time. Such a great book. I've read it multiple times. And I can tell you that even though I've read it multiple times, every single time I read this, it's like the Bible. Something new comes alive to me. And it's just such a great book for entrepreneurship. And there's many of these. And again, this kind of reinforces the lesson. There's many books that I've read multiple times because when you pick up a book, you're in a different place 10 years ago versus 5 years ago versus today. And so we have to be constant students of our systems, our processes, our time, our team, everything that we're looking at. And we have to make sure that when we put something in place for a specific reason, that we're going back and we're taking inventory of why those systems were put in place. A good example, during COVID, we had, you know, just like everybody else and being completely transparent, we had to, you know, cut costs and we were scrambling to deal with, as I shared the story in Elko, Nevada, deal with courts and different county rules and, you know, could our managers be on site? Could they not be on site? And the reality was that in a lot of our communities and some of them longer than others, we couldn't have the office open. And so, you know, we really started looking at, after about 6 months of this, we started looking at our team and the performance of the team in certain markets. And I will say I'm very, very proud to say that the majority of our team has been with us for a long time, and they're really, really good humans. They're good employees. But we had certain communities where, you know, we knew we needed to replace a manager. And again, this is standard stuff in a business that, even though it's challenging, it's hard for us to replace an employee because, you know, sometimes good enough is better than the alternative. And I'm coming away from this trip just realizing that that's a bad leadership mindset. And I'm also realizing that we gotta constantly watch where we cut the back off the ham for a specific reason. And so during COVID, we let certain managers go. And we created a position called a key holder. So it was just somebody that was in the community. And there's a lot of different philosophies on this in the manufactured housing space. I mean, if you look backwards, there's a lot of communities with different operators that actually have a manager that lives on site. And I've kind of strayed away from that over the years because when there is a challenge with a manager on site and you have to let that manager go, it can become a problem. So I've taken the stance of not really wanting to have a manager in one of our communities for that reason, because if there is a problem, which there you know, the odds are pretty high in the employment world that there could be a challenge. You can do the best job in the world hiring, and because of personal issues, you just never really know until somebody figures out their role if they're going to be a fit or not. In fact, there's a Harvard study from quite a while back that says it really takes 8 months for a person to figure out their job. And so if that's true, as a business owner, it could take you 8 months to figure out if that person's even really going to be able to perform. And then again, even you could have a great employee that starts having personal issues, whether it's marriage, a death, a divorce. There's all these things that happen that, and while we want to work through, you know, personal issues with employees, there comes a point where if it's affecting, you know, the business and your residence and whatever your business is, your clients, there's just nothing more you can do. And so that can be a challenge. Well, we created this position during COVID called a key holder. And it was literally just somebody that was in the community that had keys that could just show new residents, houses, just unlock them for them. They, you know, if you think back and remember back to that time, we couldn't go through the houses with them and all this stuff. And so it was literally just somebody that was on site that could open a house and then go lock the house when they're done and just assist residents locally with any issues. And what I've realized is that we still have some key holders in our business that were never really, and again, the cutting the back off the ham, I'm owning this 100%. But as an entrepreneur, the point that I'm trying to share is to make sure that good enough isn't good enough. When you put systems or processes in place, and being completely transparent, I can tell you time after time after time where we cut the back off the ham, and then you wake up a year later or 3 years later in this case, and you realize that you've been doing this whole time and haven't really shifted. And so, you know, whether it's with employees, whether it's, you know, systems that you put in place, whatever it is, we have to be doing constant inventory in our businesses to see what's working, what's not working. And there may have been a very, very valid reason why you put something in place that's no longer working. Business is shifting faster than it ever has before. When you look at your marketing methods from 3 years ago, they're probably not working anymore. And you might be spending a lot of money in areas that were crushing it 3 years ago that are no longer working. With HR and employment practices, I mean, there's a new law that came out, you know, this year that requires us to do something completely different with all of our LLCs. And it's really just had me looking at, you know, we put a pretty complicated structure in place with asset protection, a while back, and we still do need asset management. But when the government puts systems in place that make it pretty complicated, I think you have to really look at your asset management structure and really analyze the cost versus the reward. Because the costs are very high on our LLC reporting now. And so there, you know, there's just example after example of this. I remember a period of time when I was running my HVAC company where we had came out of a like 4 years of really strong growth. I mean, we went from probably 30 employees to 100 employees in a very small period of time. We were on the Inc. 2009 fastest growing companies in America. I remember sitting down with my service manager at that point in time, and there were some things that we were doing where I was like, why are we doing this? And why are we doing this? And we had also implemented a dispatch software that had created a lot more efficiencies. Well, prior to the dispatch software, and this is going to, you know, maybe shock some of you, but we literally had a big piece of sheet metal that we had put vinyl over the top of it, and we made a dispatch board. And so it had all the technicians' names, and the dispatchers would fill out these hand-filled cards with magnets, and they would move those around with the time slots. That's how we were dispatching. And then we got a dispatch software, which was pretty revolutionary at that point in time. It's kind of crazy to think how fast our lives are moving and have moved looking backwards. And what's crazy is even as fast as things were moving then, things are moving way faster now. And so you might have some system in place in your business that you just put in, you know, a year ago. And in our case, I was looking at forms that we were making our technicians fill out, and they had to do so many paper documents, yet we had moved to a dispatch software that really technically eliminated a lot of the problems that caused us to put a certain you know, process in place. And so I remember sitting in a service meeting one day and our efficiency was going down quite a bit, our billing efficiency. And I was really just digging in with the technicians. And of course our service manager was there but I was just sitting in on a high level meeting. And I started asking a bunch of questions, and one of our service technicians that, you know, and as entrepreneurs, sometimes we don't love to hear the feedback and the truth, the reality of what's going on in our business. But in this case, one of my brave technicians, it's funny in EOS, there's this term called the brave one. Who's the brave one that's going to, you know, go first and say what really needs to be said. So my brave one said to me, kind of pushed back on something that I was saying. And he said, well, listen, one of the main reasons that our efficiency is down is because you literally have us doing 2 hours of paperwork every single day. And that paused me in my tracks. And I didn't really say much in the meeting. I just kind of said, well, like, what, tell me what you're talking about. And he started naming off all of these things that they have to do every day. And he said, frankly, I think this is stupid. And so it really caused me and my leadership team to dig in and look at everything that we had been doing, cutting the back off the ham, that served a purpose at one point in time. But now that we had this, you know, more efficient dispatch process in place, we were actually doing a lot of things that no longer served us in our business. And that technician was right. We got our efficiency up within a matter of a month by eliminating a bunch of things that we were having our technicians do that they needed to do at one point in time, because it was the only way that we could get optics into what was happening, but we no longer needed to do that. So we had some systems in place that were redundant because we had a new, more efficient dispatch process system software that eliminated the need for that. So to kind of pull this together, I can just, you know, I could keep going probably for days, to be honest, of just times where we implemented something. I'll share one more quick story. So we used to do a lot of work for a mining company. It was one of the largest mining companies in the world. It was called Barrick Goldstrike. And they had a thing called the Cardinal Rules. And there was 13 Cardinal Rules. And if you violated one of these Cardinal Rules on their job site, you would immediately be kicked off site. One of our employees violated a cardinal rule. That employee was kicked off site and was never allowed to come back. And then we'd have to go through a big meeting, you know, with safety. And by the way, I agreed with this. I'm not saying that that was a bad policy, but the reason why these were called cardinal rules is because they were written in blood at one point in time. One example was lockout, tagout. If we were working on some system, we used to do a lot of mill relines, or if we would, you know, replace a section of a pipeline or something, we'd have to go with the electricians, go with the safety guys, make sure all the power was off, check the pumps. If it was a pipeline, whatever it was, we'd have to check the power. Everybody, you know, checked and double checked. I'm a pilot as well. And this is the same thing. You know, when you hand the controls to another pilot or your co-pilot, you say you have the controls. And then when the other pilot grabs the controls, the pilot says, I have the controls. And then the pilot that was passing him says, you have the controls. Well, why is that? To reiterate and reinforce who's in charge of the plane. Well, in the case of, like, again, let's just say lockout, tagout, safety guys, electrical guys, the people that are going to be working on it, everybody goes, checks the pumps, make sure things are actually shut off. And then everybody puts their tag. They put one tag on the breaker, and then everybody has to put their locks on there. So, you know, if that wasn't done, if somebody's working on a pump that doesn't have their lock on there and safety caught them, that was a cardinal rule. Well, why does that exist? Because somebody at some point in time didn't put their lock on and got killed. These are why these are called cardinal rules, because these rules were written in blood. And so as, you know, extreme as it sounded, you would immediately get kicked off site, and then, you know, your bosses are called in for a meeting. And the reason why that is so extreme is because it's a cardinal rule. Somebody died. And hopefully there's not, you know, systems in our business where, you know, people could die. But the reality is, where are we cutting the back off the ham? Because this was something that needed to be done at some point in time that no longer serves us as a business. So that's really all I have to share today. Just hopefully that helps in your business or even in your work, whatever it is that you do out there, because this happens everywhere. And I realize that it's not something that ever ends. It's a continuous ongoing problem. So Question today is, where are you cutting the back off the ham? If you are an accredited investor and you're interested in getting access to investments in the manufactured housing space, I do have an income fund that is paying 12% for 12 months, 14% for 24 months. This is a bridge lending fund in the manufactured housing space, promissory notes from the communities, pays quarterly interest payments. If you're interested in that, text the word invest to 480-531-7519, or you can DM me invest on Instagram. Just shoot me a DM and we'll get you some information. Would love to team up with you. Again, if you're an accredited investor looking for passive investment opportunities, reach out to me. We'll jump on a call. I'll send you some documents and we can have a discussion around this. So hopefully cutting the back off the ham is something that relates to you and can help you in your journey.
If you've found value in this episode and you know someone who's wanting to start or move further along in their journey toward investing for freedom, I would be forever grateful if you would share this show with them and help me get this message out to more listeners. Also, if you enjoy what you've heard, I would appreciate it if you take 30 seconds and leave me a 5-star review and share this with your friends. And until the next episode, cheers to moving further along in your journey of investing for freedom.